Well, there's snow forecast in Cincinnati and Philadelphia. It's the first week of April. It must be opening week for the baseball season. Of course, my focus is on Michigan State in Detroit playing the finals against University of North Carolina, and the women's game is also set. March Madness comes to an end at the beginning of April, but baseball begins this week. Hard to believe, and takeaway tailgater Jeff Beresford Howe has been doing some research on baseball bargains and what the recession has meant for the nation's pastime. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
It seems to me, at the very least, that this dark economic time that we're going through has widened the disparity between the teams that have it all financially and the teams that are really struggling. Is that your view of the situation?
Yeah, there are about nine sort of halves in baseball right now, and four or five or six of them are going to make the playoffs, and only one or two of the remaining 21 teams are going to make the playoffs this year. It's the year that baseball doomsayers have been looking forward to darkly for quite some time now.
Now, first of all, let's talk about the teams that are actually, tipping the hat to fans and offering financial incentives to come out to the ballpark.
Oh, there are deals all over Major League Baseball this year. The Los Angeles Dodgers, $25 gets you four tickets and all you can eat in the right field pavilion. Kansas City Royals, buy two season tickets, get two season tickets free. Texas, one half off for all games in April and May. And no fan out there is going to believe this, but it's true. In Arizona, the $4 beer is back.
Wow. But wait a minute. In Kansas City, buy two season tickets, get two season tickets for free?
That is exactly right.
That is a monster. And, of course, the Yankees, what deal are they offering?
That would be nothing at all.
Nothing at all. Red Sox?
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all, I see.
The Chicago Cubs, nothing at all.
That's so annoying. How can they do this? I mean, you hear on sports radio here in New York a lot of anger, but is there anything economically that will cause these teams to, to be held accountable?
Well, yeah, sure. Fans don't show up for the games. I mean, already the Yankees and the Mets have both sort of ratcheted down expectations a little bit by saying that they do expect that some of the more expensive seats at Yankee Stadium, $2,500 a shot seats, will be unfilled. And when you watch games this spring, you're going to see a lot of empty seats in those premium seats. But they're new stadiums, first year. Teams generally do everything they can to soak every dollar out of fans in the first couple of years of a new stadium, and New York fans are just going to have to sit and wait.
And Yankees and Mets, new stadiums, and there's all kinds of talk of, which one is more authentic. The Yankees is a kind of a money machine. The Mets City Field is a bit of an emblem of the financial crisis with Citibank on the logo there, but it's a beautiful pavilion.
It looks nice, but it's kind of astonishing to me that the Mets accepted over $600 million in funding for the stadium, and can't be bothered to return the $400 million that Citi is supposed to give them for naming rights that are in fact now is being paid by you and me.
Yeah, we own it. It's just another thing that we own. All right, let's talk baseball for a minute. The Red Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays, this will be the main race, it seems to me, with the Yankees, playing catch-up in the American League East. Is Tampa Bay for real?
Oh, yes. They have just talent coming out of their ears. I mean, they sent down David Price to the minor leagues, the kid who pitched so well in the playoffs last year. And while certainly financial considerations are part of that, they also just don't need him. They have so much talent. They're the only team I can think of in baseball that could have sent down a kid as talented as David Price and not skipped a beat.
Why does the Boston Red Sox, in your view, not get a bump because Ortiz isn't doing as well? He ended the season poorly. Manny Ramirez is gone. You still think the Red Sox are a lock for the top of the AL East?
They are a lock for the playoffs. Tampa Bay possibly could beat them out in the AL East, although I don't think so. But, yeah, they're the of all the wealthy teams, they're by far the best and most thoughtfully managed. And they've got a lineup that's solid 1-9. They've got a rotation that's solid. Their bullpen is solid. They just don't have any weaknesses.
And the Yankees, Joe Girardi loves this team, but do you?
No. They are one injury away from disaster. The A-Rod thing is gonna bite them all season long. The kind of injury he has tends to involve very slow, painful rehab, and players typically do not come charging back onto the field with it. So No, I see the Yankees missing the playoffs again.
All right, let's talk National League. Do the Phillies have a chance to repeat, or do we move west for the possible resurgence of the Dodgers?
The Dodgers are going to be very good this year. The Phillies are unlikely to repeat unless Cole Hamels turns out not to be injured. The other team you want to look at west is the Arizona Diamondbacks. They, like the Rays, have a ton of talent. And the front of their starting rotation, Brandon Webb and Danny Heron, is the best in baseball.
And they got the $4 beer. The $4 beer.
And they got the $4 beers, $4 so their beer. Fans should be happy. Also, $5 beers in Texas.
So is there any sort of general sense that the recession will help baseball? Back in the 1930s, it certainly did during the Great Depression. Economics very, very different now. But what's your supposition about box office throughout the league this year?
Well, what you see is that the wealthier teams, all the teams in the American League East, several of the teams in the National League East, are doing essentially nothing to deal with the recession. But around the rest of the country, you're seeing teams trying all kinds of creative things. The Pirates are offering fans layaway plans. Colorado is offering fans $6 tickets and season tickets in the lower deck on Tuesday nights for men and Wednesday nights for women, which is bizarre.
Well, we'll see by the end of the season if any of this stuff works. But before we go, UNC or Michigan State, buddy?
Michigan State.
All right. All right. Jeff Beresford Howe, Takeaway Tailgater, talking about sports and the opening season of baseball this week. This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Jeff Beresford Howe is still with us, Takeaway sports contributor. You know, is there an opening day, an absolute opening day in baseball anymore? Last night the Phillies played, but you know, it's hard for me to gauge. Is there exhibition games and all this sort of thing?
Opening day is the day when most of the teams around Major League Baseball play day games, even though it's on a Monday or Tuesday. So, yeah, there really is. And opening day is also a spiritual thing, an intellectual thing. It's opening day is like opening a book and reading the first paragraph and knowing you're in the hands of a great writer. It's a seven-month-long narrative that changes every day. It's a beautiful thing.
And what do you say to, you know, people who maybe find baseball to be utterly boring and find this romanticism about the national pastime to be a bit of a midlife crisis for American males who can't get baseball out of their out of their blood? I just want to allow for the fact that everyone isn't completely teary-eyed about baseball.
Yeah, you know, I get a lot of that from my friends. Baseball is a game that's hard to watch for a lot of people. So much of the action is interior, and baseball doesn't make any sense at all unless you can tell stories to each other while you watch the game. Baseball is the only game I know of where people get a pen and a piece of paper and take notes during the game.
And all baseball movies,
not for everybody.
All baseball movies are like these really sanctimonious kind of, if they build it, they will come. If you build it, they will come kind of thing.
I hate those movies. I hate those movies.
But basketball movies are all like these kind of heroic power movies. And golf movies are all like comedies with Bill Murray, you know?
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, what's serious about golf? It's just a bunch of guys chasing around a ball with a stick.
Well, it's a pretty huge sport. Let's not trash golf. But let's talk about this basketball game tonight. The Tar Heels and the Michigan State Spartans. You described Michigan State as having a home field advantage playing in Detroit tonight. Do you think they'll win?
I do. You know, North Carolina has been the best team in the country all year, and they have all these kids who are seniors and great players like Tyler Hansborough. But Michigan State plays just vicious, intense defense. Their transition game's great, and they're going to have 60,000 people screaming for them. You know, it's going to be fantastic, and I like their chances of pulling the mild upset and winning the game.
Now, did Michigan State's tactics against UConn, are they going to work against UNC?
Yeah, and one of the things I noticed, which was also true last year in the last couple of games of the tournament, is that Tyler Hansborough got in foul trouble in the semifinal game, and Michigan State is exactly the kind of team he struggles against in that regard. And if he gets in early foul trouble, North Carolina won't be able to play with him.
And Magic Johnson will be there, right? He will actually present the game ball?
I guess so. I mean, why not?
I mean, that's a huge psychological advantage. I was actually just looking at some of the research here. There's actually likely to be more than 70,000 fans in attendance. That's an NCAA record.
Yeah, but presumably a few of them will either not care or be rooting for North Carolina. So that's why I went with 60,000.
Oh, 60,000. I see. So there's only 10,000 Tar Heel fans? I see.
Or less.
Possibly the best news in Detroit and the state of Michigan in, you know, at least 5 years. Jeff Beresford Howe, I'll be watching. I'll be staying up late. I'll be violating my takeaway curfew by watching. But thanks so much for joining us.
Good luck.